Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Anyway, it is great to be together. Glad that you're here today. We're continuing our thought. Our theme this month is called Taking Care of Business. Talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And just want to welcome you once again. Let's get right into the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of the living God. We don't believe it's that the Word of God is some ancient book that we blow the dust off once in a while. We believe it's a love letter to humanity. We believe it is God saying, giving us what we need to know about Him and how we need to know Him more. And so we want to do that. Today I call the message Fountains of Endless Life. I want to set the stage here. John chapter 4, Jesus is coming with the disciples into a community and he's weary. The Bible says weary from a long trip. And then interesting to think of Jesus, perfectly God, yet perfectly man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, not 50-50, but 100-100. And here he was feeling weary. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. And he sits down at the well of Jacob, a very famous well, and a young woman approaches him. And back at that time, men didn't really speak to young women that they didn't know. And certainly rabbis did not talk to women of ill repute. And so there's this conversation that begins. And this is one of the reasons why we know Jesus is the greatest liberator of anyone. He liberates life. Let's read it. John chapter 4, verse 10 is where I'm beginning. As I start talking about a drink of water, I'm going to read from the message. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep, so how are you going to get this living water?" Skip down to verse 13. Jesus said, "Listen, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." Say that with me, fountains of endless life. That's what he promised. And verse 15, the woman said, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water." John chapter 7 is another passage. Jesus starts talking about the same subject. It says in verse 37, "The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or out of his belly, out of his core, out of his core, out of his belly, "will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Finally, I want to weave in from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, from the Amplified, says this, "Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." That's not just men, that's humanity. If you see a person that's diligent and skillful in their work life, God says you'll stand before important people and you'll bring influence to influencers. Let's play one more time. Father, would you open the eyes of our heart? Let your word come forth in power and change us. Even as Pastor Gail said, change us from the inside out with that one touch. That one word today. Let no person that's in the room or watching today online, let no one leave this moment the same way they came into it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking this month about, it's called Taking Care of Business. Last week I gave you the word of the Lord for the year, the Vision Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday. We called it New Mindset and New Expectations. This month we're talking about living out our faith in the workplace. Last week, Vision Sunday, we laid out some aspirations for the year ahead and said our focus is simply this: occupy, possess your land, declare your promises, claim your inheritance, and influence others. We framed it as a love invasion. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to carry every place we go. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, as we move forward, I don't know if you enjoyed the Super Bowl like I did. I told you I'm an Eagles fan anyway. And so other people got bored. I was excited every time the Eagles scored and did something good. So I enjoyed the game. I had a fun time. But I was noticing last weekend during Sports Center and all that good stuff, the receiving the NFL MVP award last week was Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And he did something that was kind of unusual. First of all, he graciously thanked all of the other people that were candidates for it. And usually they just leave that out. And, you know, they usually thank God, and sometimes they cuss right after they thank God. But then, you know, anyway, he didn't. But he thanked a bunch of people, thanked the teammates. But Josh Allen went on and he thanked all the employees of the organization from the front office right down to, he called out this guy, Slick Rick, in the mailroom. Overnight, this humble guy, Rick, was turned, his life was turned upside down. I saw him interviewed on Fox Sports. I saw him interviewed on ESPN. I saw him interviewed. This guy went from obscure background guy in the mailroom to crying, listen, just because he was recognized by the team leader publicly. I just got a little clip. If you guys want to roll that little clip right there, I just want you to see Slick Rick.
So basically, when I was watching the awards, when he went on stage, you know, everything, I was happy that he had won it, and it went from joyful to crying, because when he mentioned my name, I just broke down. I broke down because I'm just an average person. I mean, but when he mentioned my name, it was like, oh my God, he just mentioned my name on national television, you know. So it was like, I was just crying. I was crying. Then I started getting phone calls from friends, and I was crying on the phone to them. It's still like a dream.
Is that amazing? I think that was so cool. I had to show you that, because this guy, listen, he was recognized nationally. But he kept saying through the, it's a long video with local reporters in Buffalo, and he's going, I was just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. I'm just in the background. I just play my part. Nobody knows me, but they all talk to me, and they call me Slick Rick and blah, blah, blah. And I thought about it. If it's that big of a deal to be called out by a celebrity on national television, how is it going to be when we're standing before the Lord and he calls out your name? Well done, good and faithful servant, for what you've done. The Bible says every bit of labor you've done for the Lord and for the kingdom, it's never in vain. That God remembers everything. He sees it all. Listen, when you do your job well, you are always seen by others, even if you don't realize it. Let me say it again. When you do your job well, you are always seen by others. That becomes your platform. That becomes a reason for someone to listen to your testimony. When they see you serving, when they see you just doing something behind the scenes, you're not always given earthly recognition. You're not always going to be called out by somebody publicly or on television. But the greater one, the Bible says, sees and knows for sure everything you've done to take care of children, to watch over people in your neighborhood, to take care of the elderly, to do things, the little things you do that nobody else sees, the doors you open, the drinks of water that you give. Jesus said, if you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, you will never lose your reward. Now, that's pretty amazing to me that he takes something as mundane as giving a cup of water and says, this, you're going to be famous for this one day. You're going to be called out before the throne of heaven for every little thing you've done. Remember that the Bible says that after Jesus ascended, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But when the young deacon Stephen was martyred in the book of Acts for standing up for his faith in Jesus, the word of God says he saw heaven open and Jesus giving him a standing ovation as he welcomed him into heaven. Jesus is forever, the Bible says, seated at the right hand of God. But he gives a standing ovation for your sacrifice, for those moments where you're stepping up, the moments where you're showing forth his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Stephen said, I saw heaven opened and the Son of Man standing. In John chapter 4, Jesus begins a conversation at a well. Just a mundane, everyday talk about water again. An ancient water fountain with a young woman, and turns it into a ministry opportunity just out of a simple conversation. I want you to realize this today as we talk about it. Water is a life source. Water is a big deal. You need it just to live. The average human body is made of 60% water at least. Generally, a person can only live about 3 days without water. It's called dehydration. Did you know that the Bible mentions living water over 100 times? The phrase living water is in the Bible. That means it's something that is very important. It's something God's trying to communicate from his heart and from his word to us. He's trying to get something across to us. Listen, water has no shape of its own. It takes on the shape of its container is all it does. My friend Martijn van Tilburg said this: one of water's unique qualities is that it has no shape. Left to itself, it can seep into any crack, fill any empty crevice. Its shape is only determined by its container. Think about that for a moment. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you rivers of living water that are going to flow out of your belly, that means there's something inside of you. Of this he spoke, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. There's an overflow of what God wants to do in and through you that will seep into any opening. It'll get into any crack. It'll fill any crevice. It'll get into any gap in somebody else's life if they're just simply looking and open. But you don't have to beat people over the head with your Bible to be a Christian at work. In fact, you shouldn't. You need to let the water flow that's inside of you and let them, the Bible says, be ready when they ask you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Earn the right to be a witness by your fruit. Earn the right to be a witness. Don't be the one that's sitting there trying to take time from your job and trying to, you know, just keep getting, I'm a Christian, and you got a stack of, you know, Bibles and stuff on your desk. You can, I love it if you have a Bible on your desk where people know you're a believer, but just be careful how you carry that. Because people are not looking for a new religion. They're looking for a lifestyle that actually works. They're looking for a relationship with God that doesn't have all that religious aftertaste with it. It's not about you trying to impress people with how perfect you are or send this vibe out that we're sitting in judgment of everybody else. That's why I love Now Church, because it's a church filled with imperfect people until you got here, Mr. and Mrs. Perfection. Over the years, I've often described the revival and reformation that I see in my spirit. I've been preaching this for over 30 years. I see it as a tsunami, a giant wave of living water. Revival is not just an evangelist comes to town and holds big meetings and a bunch of people get saved. That's not revival. Revival, think of the word revival in and of itself. To revive somebody, it has to have already been vived once. To revive it, it was already vived and it lost something, and you got to revive it. You got to reinvigorate it. So the people getting born again is a part of the outflow of revival, but outflow, the revival is for the church. The revival is for those many of you that I've met over the past few weeks and months, some of you newer people coming in. You had a background in the church as a child. You saw religion like I did. You kind of ran away. Life happened. You messed up. But all of a sudden, at whatever stage of life you're in, you find yourself being drawn back to the throne room, drawn back to the love of God, drawn back to relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Doesn't matter what denomination you came out of. Doesn't matter what your background is. What it matters is that you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you invite him in. We were singing that song earlier, you know, let my life be an altar. Come on in. Come on in. If you'll invite him in, he will come into your life in a brand new way today. You don't even have to wait till the end of the service. You can do it right now. Jesus described this living water as flowing from the core or the hearts of his followers. And I believe that when the Church of Jesus Christ becomes inspired and empowered to carry fresh living water into the marketplace, revival will spread like a tsunami. What's the world waiting for? It's not waiting for another big meeting. It's waiting for body life. It's waiting for the body of Christ to carry Jesus into every area of life in a supernaturally natural way, not some weird off-putting way. People don't care about your theology, but they're looking for Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Romans that people are groping in the darkness. Lost people groping in the darkness. Where's God? Where's God? And if you'll just carry Jesus, he'll reveal himself. Listen, the world would love for us to limit the gospel to Sunday morning religious services. But I want to say this to you right now. The water cooler at work is you. It's not just something you go to. The spiritual water cooler at work is you. Listen, what does water do? Water refreshes. Water satisfies thirst. Water regulates body temperature. Water lubricates joints. Water improves cognitive function. We all need water just to live. Your workplace, they need a water source. They need water to be flowing there, and you carry it. The problem is if you stay bottled up, if you stay plugged up, if you keep hiding your light under a bushel basket, you miss the whole point. I got to be careful how I say this next statement. God's people have been too dammed up long enough the last season. Now, please explain to your children the pastor didn't just cuss. God's people have been too damned up. I messed that one up. Let me say it again. God's people have been too damned up in the last season. And the other two. The other word works too. You've been bottled up. You've been sidelined. You've been relegated. You've been pushed down. You've been separated. You've been told to sit down and shut up and let everybody else do and say their piece and let every ungodly thing out there have a platform. But God help us if God's people step up and tell the truth. You have a platform, but your platform is first with carrying his flow in you, his life in you. Well, I believe God is saying it's time to open the floodgates. Open up the gates. Isaiah 26:2 says this, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. That's a great promise. Let me read it again. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. I believe God wants to open the gates. Listen, living water has to flow like a river. That's why we sang that song earlier today. Thank you, Pastor Lindsay, for bringing that song to us. We come alive in the river. I love that. Living water has to flow. It has to flow like a river. A river flows. A couple weeks ago, I launched this series with teaching from Genesis on the origins of work. And I mentioned that work is a blessing. Work is a gift of God. It's not a curse. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. And in that passage, I mentioned the creation of these four strategic rivers that God, in the context of work, as he's talking about setting Adam in the garden, he suddenly makes this seemingly insignificant mention of these four rivers. But when I look at this and I dig into it, you know, how many know everything in the Bible is there for a reason? Even names of cities and names of people, they mean something. When you drill down, it's so cool. So I want to give you four, I want to give you the Hebrew definition of these four rivers and what it means and what it means to me, because I believe it's a prophetic picture of what God wants to do. Listen, every garden is a workplace, and every workplace needs a good water source. The word river is the word in Hebrew, nahar. It means a stream or flow, and it is always figurative of abundance. It is figurative of abundance and flowing. It's got to be like that. It's a flow. Your workplace needs water. A river is different than a swamp for one reason. It's different because a swamp doesn't flow. A river flows. There's a source and then there's an outlet. Water comes from one place and flows to a different place. In fact, it's interesting as we talk about the word of the Lord coming through us, the Bible teaches about how it flows through our mouths, and yet even in the world you would say, the river has a mouth. The mouth of the river is where it begins. The mouth of the river, that's where it either begins or ends. It comes out there. Well, the river of God flows out of your spirit and flows out of your mouth as well. Just as the woman with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, she came for a drink. But Jesus wanted to give her an internal flow, an artesian well inside that would never dry up. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to give her something. Look, if I give you what I have to drink from, you'll have some, it'll unlock something in you, and you won't ever have to keep coming back for the spiritual drink again. It'll flow from you. It'll flow through you. It'll impact other people. It will flow like a river. I want you to listen to the prophetic meanings of these four rivers, because I believe the Lord is opening up rivers in your desert. It's part of the mindset shift that I believe God is calling us to this year. And I want to say to you, many of you need all four of these. Some of you need one or two more than others. But let me give it to you. So the four rivers mentioned in Genesis, number one is called Pishon, P-I-S-H-O-N. It literally means to sow or scatter freely or to increase to the point of overflowing. Think about that. So God says, by the way, Adam, there's four rivers over here. Let me tell you about them. He said, the first one is when you sow or scatter seed freely to increase to the point of overflowing. He said, that river Pishon is a flow. Can I tell you, your generosity is either a flow or it's some, listen, if you're a stingy person and you like to hang on to stuff, You're dammed up. You're bottled up. You're blocked. You have blocked your own blessing. You have blocked, and instead of unlocking your blessing, you blocked your blessing. The Bible says the first river that's flowing in Eden to water the garden of God is to scatter or sow freely to create an abundance or an overflow. Y'all aren't responding as much as I thought you would. I want you to get this. Listen. And then God says, listen, he pivots here and says that word Pishon skirts the land of Havilah. Havilah in Hebrew means a circle or cycle. A circle or cycle. And then God says, and Havilah skirts this land. Havilah, it's a circle or cycle. And God says in the new cycle, by the way, or in the outskirts of Havilah, there's gold. And the gold is good. This is what God says. In his creation, God says, okay, right over there is a new cycle, and in that cycle is gold, and the gold is good. Well, why in the world does God mention gold here? I find it interesting. The gold standard. Throughout history, gold has established a measure of value. A measure of worth. It has been the comparison for everything else. Why? Because God said it's valuable. From creation, God said, there's gold and then there are hills. And he said, and it's good. Remember, the context is work. You're going to work and there's going to be reward. And by the way, some of it's over there. Now think about it. When we compare things in this life, even the Bible says of itself, more desired than gold, more than much fine gold, and sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is the word of the Lord. The word of God is more valuable. The Bible says that sometimes in your life, you're going through situations in your life where you're going through like a faith challenge. The Bible says, but your faith is tested because your faith is proven to be more important and more valuable than gold, which is fired in the furnace. See, everything becomes a comparison. See, you have to, so right here, God is quantifying things. And he's saying, okay, here's going to be one of the most valuable things on the planet. I'm pointing it out to you. It's connected with your job. And there's going to be cycles and seasons of it where that's going to flow and it's going to be good. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So a lot of people, let me say this. One of the things that frustrates me sometimes about religion, and by religion, I don't mean going to church. I mean religious attitudes, traditional religion. Let me say it that way. One of the things that bugs me about it is because a lot of people, they just want to put together like hellfire and damnation to scare people into heaven. But God doesn't start that way. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. So right away, God says, here's what's good, and there is reward. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, is he not? The Bible says faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe two things. Number one, that he is God. Number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible calls that faith. Saving faith. You've got to believe that. So, listen, your word is to be more desirable than gold. Precious metals are precious because God said so in the beginning. It begins, listen, our worship, the word worship is from the word worth or value. Every time you're worshiping God, you're saying, God, you're more valuable than anything else in my life. You're more valuable than gold or silver. A lot of scriptures even say you're more valuable than gold and silver or anything else. Why? Because there's got to be a point of comparison. If nothing is precious, then nothing is worth worship. God is comparing himself. This is nothing compared to him. But it's valuable on the earth. Are you getting it? And I want to say, I believe that for many of you, you've been trapped in a cycle or a season where you're blocked up. And God wants you to sow and scatter freely, come into a brand new cycle, a brand new season. And guess what? When you learn that secret, when you learn to put God first in that, there will be reward. There will be gold in them, their hills. Are you awake today? You like the first river? Okay, second river is great. Listen to this. The word Gihon, G-I-H-O-N in the Bible, means bursting forth, breaking out, or breaking through. That's what this river means. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed a breakthrough? Like God, I don't know if you know, but there's something urgent happening here and I'm kind of facing a deadline. I need to see you move. The Bible says there's a river for that. There's a river in the garden of God. There's a river on your job. There's a river when you're working, and it's a river that's called bursting forth, breaking out, or breaking through. My friends, restoration, the restoration nature of God, he is a God who restores. He says this in Isaiah, for your shame, you will have double honor. Maybe you're under attack. Maybe you've been falsely accused of something. Maybe you've been going through something and the pressure is on. I want you to know that one of the things that David, King David, saw as he was under tremendous pressure, surrounded by the enemy on two sides. And they said, King David, what are you going to do? He said, I believe that God is about to break through like a bursting of a dam. And he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means my God is the Lord of my breakthrough. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. If you're under pressure today, don't just live under pressure. Take it to God. First of all, get in the first river and start sowing and scattering freely. Second of all, trust him. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. And he hadn't forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about you. It's as if something finally just breaks open, like the breakthrough, like a dam of water bursting. That's the river Gihon. Number three, you like the first two rivers? Good. The third river is called Hiddekel. Hiddekel. H-I-D-D-E-K-E-L, Hiddekel. We also know it as the Tigris River, which is still called today the Tigris in Iraq. The word Hiddekel means active, vehement, or rapid. I believe what God is speaking to me about 2025 is we're coming into a rapid season, a season of acceleration and intensity. Anybody ever been whitewater rafting? Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? I went one time, I was preaching in Nampa, Idaho, and the pastor there took me whitewater rafting, the first time I had ever done it in my life, down the Snake River. I don't know if anybody remembers Evel Knievel, but the Snake River Canyon jump. We went to the Snake River, and they give you about 2 minutes worth of lessons. Not kidding. They give you an oar, a life preserver, and a helmet. That should have been my first clue. They said, okay, now we're going to come to the thing. You got to follow the, we had a guide, and they said, the guide will tell you exactly how to paddle, exactly what to do, and make sure, they said, the biggest thing is at this one place, which is called Mike's Tomb. When you get to Mike's Tomb, the only thing you don't want to do, just make sure you go straight down it. Don't get turned around and go down backwards. What did we do? We got turned around and sent down Mike's Tomb backwards, which is how it became called Mike's Tomb in the first place. And I got off that e-ticket ride and said, that was a wonderful one-time experience. Because when they say rapids, it means you're going real fast down water and rocks. We almost flipped over at one point, and my son was with me. He was only like maybe 11 years old or something. And I'm like, I was just trying to make sure he stayed alive. Oh, somebody's got an emergency. Look, everybody goes for their phone we pray for whatever situation it is. If there's an amber alert, a purple alert, a silver alert, or a gold alert. Whatever. Somebody just got blessed. That's what it means. I believe we're coming into a rapid season. Active, vehement, or rapid is Hiddekel. Number four and last. We've all heard of this one. The river Euphrates. The Euphrates River. Literally means fruitfulness. You might want to silence your phasers or set them on stun. For those of you tricky fans. Euphrates means fruitfulness or productivity. Is that crazy that we get this? We've had all these crazy things happen the last few weeks on Sunday morning, and now Sunday morning we get this little buzz right in the middle of the word. So let me just—I'm going to say number four again, just so you get it, okay? The Euphrates River literally means in the Hebrew fruitfulness and productivity. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, every river has ebbs and flows. The tides of the moon move the water in cycles. The ebb is the outgoing tide. The flow is the incoming tide. But I want to say to you, I believe the tide is rising. I believe it's coming up. We did the perfect song earlier. I believe the tide is rising. It's not rising through striving. It's rising. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. God is going to do it. You just have to be who you are. But you have to unashamedly carry him into your workplace. I want to ask you a question as we close. How's your flow flowing? How's your flow? How's your flow flowing? How's your river going? Are you flowing right now? Is it a season of divine order, purpose, and accomplishment like it's supposed to be? Or are you bottled up? My friend, it's time to break through. It's time to break through in your relationships. Quit coasting. I hope everybody took care, everybody that has a love in their lives, I hope you took care of that love for Valentine's Day. But I hope it's not just once a year Valentine's Day. I hope it's every day. I hope it's something significant. This was our 47th Valentine's Day together. And there's somebody again. 47th time that we've gone around Valentine's Day. The first year, we were together for about 4 or 5 months, and she was working at Farrell's Fabulous Ice Cream. My wife was working. She was my girlfriend then. Working at Farrell's Fabulous Ice Cream in the Altamont Mall, and I surprised her with flowers and a stupid poem. And here we are. Here we are decades later. Don't ever sell yourself short, gentlemen. Don't ever sell yourself short from flowers and a stupid poem. I think my poem was something like, roses are nice, violets okay. The first love we shared was 5 months ago today, or something like that. See, there you go. It's not even original. I mean, like, roses are red, violets. I just turned it. To tell you the truth, I couldn't find anything to rhyme with violet. Anyway. Understand that you don't... Guys, quit mailing it in. Quit just doing the bare minimum in your relationship. No wonder you need a breakthrough. We can take our spouses so for granted, can't we? Men and women. We can just kind of presume the other person is always going to be there. And I'm telling you, we need to appreciate. Amen. You know what the word appreciate means? When you appreciate something, when you have an appreciation on an investment, it means it came to a higher value. The appreciation. When you express that value, it gets more valuable. God wants to do something and bring that river flowing through your life. By the way, you have to accept the fact that God is a rewarder, because there's no mention of the river denial. Finally, the woman at the well responded to Jesus, give me this water. You're talking about water? That I'll never thirst again? Water that's powerful? Water, a river that I can scatter and it flows? Water where there's a bursting forth and doesn't get stuck? Water that's rapid and accelerated and intense? Water that's fruitful and productive? You show me these rivers, God. I want to be like that woman at the well. Give me this water. Let that river flow through me. I want that flow. You put those in your Bible for a reason. Remember, even on our jobs, especially on our jobs, water is only shaped by its container, you. The shape of the water in your life is shaped by you and how you carry it. Fountains of endless life are available to you through Jesus, for he is the fountain of life. And if he can get it through you to others, he can get it to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your promises today. Thank you for your word. Lord, we trust in you with all of our hearts. Lord, I've done the best I could to convey this truth. I ask you to stir up the living water inside of your people today. Stir up the river. Stir up the river. Stir up the river. From the young to the older, from the people sitting in the front to the people sitting in the back to the people sitting at home watching. Lord, would you stir us up? Would you stir up the gifts of God within us? Help us to see the purpose of God flowing through us. Lord, I pray right now for any person or couple or family that needs a breakthrough in any area of their lives. I pray for that spiritual breakthrough. I pray for that supernatural breakthrough. I pray for a love breakthrough. I pray for a peace breakthrough. I pray for a joy breakthrough. I pray for a stirring of the Spirit of God. I want to say this right now before we close. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I need this river to flow through me. Would you just put your hand up in the air and just be honest about it? I want to pray for you. Be honest about it. We're not here to shame anybody. If you need a breakthrough, He's the Lord of the breakthrough. That's what we're talking about today. Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised and everyone whose heart is open. I pray healing over your body. I pray healing over your mind. I pray healing over your soul. And I pray for miracles in your relationships. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let the river of God that makes glad the city of God flow through every person whose hand is raised and heart is open. I come against every demonic blockage right now. Every distraction, every disruption, everything that tries to steal, kill, and destroy from the abundance that Jesus came to give. In Jesus' name, we proclaim freedom and liberty and strength over those areas of your life. Everybody put your hand on your belly right now. Just put your hand on your belly right now. Now, Father, your word says through Jesus that rivers of living water flow out of our belly, out of our core, out of our inner man. This week, we speak to the flow of the Holy Spirit inside of us as born-again believers. Be stirred up and be ready to move, Holy Spirit. The Lord of the breakthrough lives in your spirit, in your core, in your heart. Let there be breakthroughs this week through each one of us for other people. And in that, let us find the breakthrough for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe it, say, I receive that. I receive it. Amen. Come on, praise Him today. Listen. The Bible says it's to as many as receive Him. If you don't know Jesus, I've been talking about Him the whole time, but you have to come on in, Lord. Come on in. Just invite Him into your life. You don't need a formal prayer right now, but you do need to invite Him in. And it needs to be marked in your heart that this is the day that you finally surrendered and you gave Him your life. And if you need something to help, we want to help you. Listen, if today was the day that the light bulb went off in your life, I invite you just to text, just send us a text to decide now, 94000. So 94000 is the number. You're going to text the word decide now, all one word, and we'll send you a little text back with a video to help you get started in walking with God, okay? We're not going to blow up your phone with a bunch of text messages. You didn't join anything for life, okay? It's one thing, but we want to communicate with you and help you to grow. All right?
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.